Before the message, I'll be reading from John 18. And you know this story well, but listen as I read and look at the words, and maybe something will come new to you. Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, will open something new to you. And then as Steve shares. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not want to enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With that, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" "No," they shouted back. "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Blessing, Steve.
We're continuing our Lenten series, Dwelling in Dissonance. And if you remember, dissonance is a lack of harmony. We think of it musically, but in life as well, where we think something should be one way, but yet it's another way. There's that tension in between there. It reminds me that the visual image I get sometimes is our former dog, Toby, growing up when our kids were growing up, we had a dog for about 13 years, Toby, who was an Australian shepherd. And whenever we'd go for a walk and there'd be two groups of people, Toby would just be unsettled because I guess as a shepherd, he would want all of us walking together. So Toby would run up to the one group, run to the back to the other group, just back and forth in this like this dissonance. We need to be together. We need to have things stable and all figured out. But that's dissonance. And the dissonance we want to talk about today, as we've heard already in our worship, is what to do with power. What to do with the power and influence that we might have. Here's a good way to understand power. It's the ability to influence, control, or govern a people or a situation. The ability to influence, to control, to govern a people or a situation. So the dissonance could be, if you have power, how do you maintain it? How do you even grow more of it and protect it? Or if you're a person of faith and you have influence and power, how do you exercise that power in a godly way? Or you might be one who feels powerless, and how do you deal with that powerlessness. So lots of ways we might feel a sense of dissonance in regards to power. For a Roman leader like Pilate here, his concern would be that there might be a rival that arises, another king or leader who challenges his power or who challenges the power of the Romans. Think back to the Christmas story, King Herod, when some these wise men arrived and said, "We've heard the King of the Jews is born." Right away, Herod was distressed by that and was just ruthless in trying to root out and destroy this rival king. In this particular story, the way it's read, as I read over that Pilate's response to Jesus, it doesn't appear that he has any concern about Jesus as a rival. You know, you don't sense any of that sense of concern. He's trying to understand why, in fact, he's even brought before him. You'd think that somehow Pilate would have some kind of concern that this guy might be a rival that stirs up the Jewish people against me. The Jewish leaders or the religious leaders, they were really concerned about Jesus being a rival to their power and their influence. First of all, Jesus, the religious or the spiritual influence that he had over people, that was rivaling their leadership. But also they had a sense that Jesus might stir the people up and the Romans might see that as some acts of insurrection, that they might respond to that, and these leaders would start to lose some of their influence and their power in their roles as Pharisees and Sadducees. So there was a real sense of we need to protect this power and influence that we have. Just a couple things. It seems to be some hypocrisy in their responses here. One being, we don't want to go into the king's palace because that will make us ritually impure. All the while, they're turning over one of their people for Pilate to do their dirty work. It just feels like some of the things that Jesus was challenging them with in their leadership and power and influence, that you're all great at the ritual purity, but yet the way you act in how you treat others seems to be lacking. So we see some of that going on. Interestingly, also they said, that will make us impure to go in this Gentile leader's palace. We don't want to be impure so that we can't practice the Sabbath the next day and Passover the next week. All the while, their actions are raising up the new Passover lamb, who would be the Passover sacrifice for all time. So just some interesting things to note as far as the religious leaders here. So thinking about power for ourselves, the sense of powers causes us to protect our own self-interest or the interests of our tribe, of our people, you know. And in some ways, that's the role of a leader, to be responsible to look over one's people and to protect what's good for them. But it's how we go about it. It's how that leadership or that power is exercised. Is it exercised in an oppressive, in a self-serving, in an immoral way? I'll do whatever it takes in order to cling on to what we have. So when we bring it down to our level, it's often not an individual thing. Well, like we could point to individuals, a president and a world leader, a corporation leader, whatever, who might individually express a lot of power and influence. For us, it might be that we are part of a system that's trying to maintain its influence and its control and its superiority. We could think of our workplace or our corporation. We could think of being part of the U.S. economic system and the power that it has. At times in a church setting, it might raise up, or a family. In all these ways, we become part of a system that there's pressure when you're part of that system to help maintain its power, its influence, its gain, its accumulation, and so forth. And in feeling that pressure that we would maintain our control, we might be suspicious of the others around us. So we're kind of drawn into that. And often it might feel like freedom when we can kind of step back from that. You know, like somebody stepping out of their workplace and starting their own business. And it feels like freedom, even though I might not be part of something that's as influential or maybe as helping me in my wealth or whatever, just to step out of the pressure of maintaining that power and that influence as part of this group feels good. Maybe a doctor starting a practice of his or her own and saying, we're not going to take insurance here. It's just you and me working together. Those kind of things. Some church leaders feel like I've heard stories of just tired of all the politics or whatever in the church or denomination, and just I'm just going to start a house church. Just it'll feel so much freer and purer or whatever. But we get drawn into that sense of we need to protect our influence and our power. So maybe you can think back to your life where you've been part of systems like that, where you've just felt that need to protect that power. Here, now Jesus is called before Pilate, and we see a different way in Jesus, and we can learn from that. He's questioned about the power he has. You know, Pilate asks, are you a king? In other words, like, should I be worried about you? And that's when Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, I'm not concerned about that worldly gain, that worldly sense of I need to keep and protect the influence that I have. And then Jesus says, this is what I'm all about. I was born and I came into this world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts this truth listens to my voice. So there you have a sense of how his leadership is going to, he's saying I'm a leader. Whoever accepts this truth that I'm sharing, that I'm all about, that's where I am lured. And it's almost like Pilate and Jesus are just missing each other as they talk about leadership and power and being a king. Pilate's this authority figure. People have to do what he says, right? He's got this dominating power. There's stories of the ways that he demonstrated that power and authority over the Jewish people. There's a time when he took out of the temple treasury to help pay for an aqueduct that he was building there. So just, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. That kind of dominating power. And just this disconnect with Jesus, who's just speaking more about truth. And somehow there's this truth that transcends this, that transcends how we do business with one another, how we treat one another, how we try to hold on to our power. And so almost this blindness that, if you can think about it, people who really have lived and just embodied this sense of I have authority, I have power, I have influence here. And for someone to talk about doing it a different way, like, that just doesn't make sense to me. You know, how do you act in a self-sacrificial way? You know, how do you not care about accumulating and gaining? Like, that makes no sense to me. And so Pilate and Jesus are missing each other as Jesus talks about somehow he's one who is all about representing this truth. He doesn't need, you know, if I wanted to usurp you, Pilate, I could have called my people out and we would have fought against you. You know, that's, we're not thinking the same way when it comes to power and influence. And I just thought it was key that what Jesus says is, whoever accepts this truth that I'm sharing and that I'm representing, they will listen to my voice. And when I think of that, I think of the Good Shepherd. And so I want to read John chapter 10 and just think about this is, we talked about how an earthly display of power and influence and control. And I want to contrast that with what Jesus describes about himself here in John 10, the Good Shepherd. I assure you that whoever does not enter the sheep pen through the gate, but climbs over the wall, is a thief and an outlaw, or a thief and a robber, a thief and a brigand. There's different translations for that. Interestingly, at the end of our scripture today, when it talks about Barabbas, the people wanted Barabbas. The literal description of Barabbas is Barabbas was a robber, or it was that same word. Here in our reading today, I think it said that Barabbas led an uprising against the people, but it's that same word that's used here. So interestingly, by the end of this story today, the people were choosing the thief and the robber, that same word, instead of choosing the Good Shepherd. That's the choice that was being made. But whoever, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I'm sorry, I skipped a paragraph. Let me go back here. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. We're getting a sense of a different kind of a leader. The sheep know his voice. There's something more personal there. He calls them out by name. So there's a real personal kind of leadership there. Whenever he has gathered all his sheep, he goes before them and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and outlaws. Again, that same word that's also used to describe Barabbas. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. In other words, I will take care of their well-being. They will be well cared for and looked after. The thief enters only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so that they could live their life to the fullest. It's the kind of leader Jesus is describing himself as. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A leader who lays down his life for the sheep. A king who lays down his life for the people. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and so the sheep don't matter to him. But the good shepherd, the true king, courageously protects his own. He's fully invested in them. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to the sheep pen. I must lead them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. A leader who's not suspicious of the others, but wants to draw them in as well. And then finally, this is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this commandment from my Father. So a sense of assurance, like, even as I might give my life, even as I might live sacrificially, I know I will be vindicated. I know my Father will care for me. I can trust that even in my sacrifice and my servant leadership, God's will be done. So a really different picture than the world's understanding of leadership, of what it takes to protect and to guard and to be suspicious and to hold on to the power and influence that we have. So Jesus is the truth. He's this self-revelation of God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen what I do, follow in my footsteps. This is what it looks like to live in my upside down kingdom, even as that might lead to the cross, as it did for me. So the challenge for us then is to carry our own power and influence differently than the way that the world does. To carry that influence, that power, that authority in a way that blesses others, in a way that is self-giving. Think about whether you're a parent or whether you have influence in your school, whether you have employees or you supervise other people. Whatever it might be, how is that authority, that leadership displayed in a way that blesses rather than tries to protect and hold on to and keep others out of it? So I just want to close with this thought. All throughout this story, I guess all throughout the Jesus story, there's this opportunity to choose Jesus, to choose that truth. A couple weeks ago, Peter had that opportunity. He was in the courtyard. He could have stood with Jesus or denied Jesus. He chose to deny. Here, Pilate over and over again has this opportunity to release Jesus, but ultimately to protect his governing authority and not to cause trouble, he releases Jesus to the leaders and to the people. Because that was expedient. That's what would protect his own power and influence. Choosing that over the truth. And that same choice is there for us as well, to choose Jesus and to choose the way of Jesus or to choose another way. So may God direct us and challenge us and speak to our hearts that every day we make that choice to choose the way of Jesus, to bless and to give of ourselves for others, even as we might carry authority, that we use that for his good purposes. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look to the life, the example of Jesus, his teachings, we're constantly in this world called to seek our own gain, our own influence, our own way. Give us the heart of Jesus that desires to bless God and to bless others, to use the strength and the power and the authority and the influence that we have for God's good purposes as we walk the way of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.